America has a very rich heritage in Christianity. The question is whether or not having a rich heritage is enough for us today. Here's Skip Heitzig with an answer.
Harold Bosley said, America is today running on the momentum of a godly ancestry. When the momentum runs down, God help America. We have had a wonderful heritage spiritually. Some people, I think, over-embellish the past, but nonetheless, we've had a great spiritual heritage, a momentum in which the Bible at one time was one of the textbooks in the classroom. But when that momentum stops, God help America, and I can't help but wonder, has that momentum run out as it stopped?
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
Remember the days when you had to hold a thermometer under your tongue forever in order to tell if you had a fever? Well, those days are long gone. Today we have digital tympanic thermometers, which get a reading from your ear. But even if that is too uncomfortable, there's also the new temporal artery thermometer, which detects and measures heat. Simply wave the cell phone-sized device over someone's forehead to get a reading and see if they have a fever. If only it was as easy to detect our spiritual temperature. And today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig will share some indicators that we can use to determine our spiritual temperature. But before we begin, we'd like to encourage you to help us out with global evangelism. You won't have to travel anywhere, but it will require a commitment. Here's more.
The word missionaries usually brings to mind images of mysterious jungles and isolated native tribes. We don't often visualize our neighbors as a potential mission field or thinking of them as a missionary task. Yet our neighbors often need to hear the gospel just as much as jungle tribes. The same is true of America. The neighbors of our nation need to hear the gospel just as much as any distant land. Canada is a close neighbor that's also a ripe missions field. When you join the Global Connectors, you help us reach out to our neighbors with the good news of Jesus Christ. Call 1-800-922-1888. And for just $25 a month, you can help efforts all throughout Canada to share the good news of the gospel and to reach people with solid biblical teaching. Plus, as a member of the Global Connectors, you'll have access to a new downloadable resource each month. This month, you can download a teaching from Sebastian Frappier from Calvary Chapel, Montreal.
Abundant blessing, abundant pain, it brings the same thing, abundant faith. If you're suffering abundantly, faith will result to that. If you're abundantly blessed, faith will result from that. Wow, God is taking care of me.
Join the Global Connectors and help us reach our neighbors to the north with the love of Jesus Christ. Sign up today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or visit us online at connectionradio.org.
We sure thank you for helping us out as a Global Connector. So find out more about that at 1-800-922-1888 or by jumping on our website at connectionradio.org. You know, we may not have any fancy high-tech gadgets to help gauge our spiritual temperature, but there are ways to see if we're running hot or cold. Stay with us to find out what those are.
And make the connection.
In Revelation chapter 3, we come to the final letter written to the seven churches. So if you'll turn there in your Bibles, Skip Heitzig will begin today's program with some advice on assessing your health.
Self-diagnosis is always a mistake when it comes to our physical bodies. We've all met people, perhaps you might be the kind of person who reads the latest magazine and you're convinced that you have that problem. You have that disease. And you read the next magazine, you think, oh no, that's exactly the disease that I have. I remember with my medical training, The first couple of years as I was discovering different diseases that were around, you know, I wondered if maybe I don't have them. Then the opposite can also be a problem. The kind of a person who has a problem, has a disease, has a malady, but won't admit it, would say, no, don't worry about me, I'm fine. Yet that person all the while has a severe medical problem. My father was sort of like this. He had some things that would creep up in his life, but he would never admit it. Perhaps that was just his generation. But I remember when he had cut the top of one of his fingers off in the fan of a running car, and he was going to the hospital as he's bandaging up that bloody stump. He's saying, he's shaving and thinking, you know, nothing is really that wrong. I'll be to the doctor and it's no big deal. Thinking, no big deal. You've just lost half of your blood in the bathroom. When we do this spiritually, that is, we have a need and we don't admit our need, it becomes very, very serious. And there was a church like that, the Church of Laodicea, a church who thought they were better off than they really were. They had an elevated sense of esteem. There was a lion who once had a problem like this. He was enamored with the fact that lions are called the king of the jungle, and so he wanted to make sure that all of the other animals in the jungle knew that he was the king of the jungle. And so he went up first to the bear and he said, "Who's the king of the jungle?" The bear said, "Well, you are." And the lion let out a huge roar of approval. He went then to the tiger and he said, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the tiger said, "Well, everyone knows that you are, O lion." Satisfied with that, he went on to the elephant and he said, "Who's the king of the jungle?" The elephant took his trunk and picked up the lion and whirled him around 5 or 6 times in the air, slammed him up against a tree, sat on him, pushed him up and down on the ground several times, threw him in the lake, then slapped him onto the mud flats. The lion, struggling to get up and regain his composure, said, "Look, just because you don't know the answer, you don't have to get mean." Jesus is the king, and yet Laodicea thought they needed nothing. They have misdiagnosed their condition. Jesus approaches them with the truth. Beginning in verse 14, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The Church of Laodicea was founded by a guy named Antiochus II, who named it after his wife, Laodicea. It took her name. It became a very wealthy, prosperous, and active city. Yet, the people within the city who were Christians had a spiritual disease. They had a spiritual temperature that wasn't quite right. Jesus describes it here by the word lukewarm. That is, they were complacent, they were apathetic, they were half-hearted in their commitment. What a contrast this final and seventh letter to the church of Laodicea is to the church at Philadelphia, the church with the open door, the church that was growing and stayed true to the Word of God. And I think that the church of Philadelphia, the church of Laodicea, describe the two main spiritual elements in the church of the last days. Some will see revival, and they will grow. They will hold fast to the word and proclaim it. Others, like the church of Laodicea, will be very, very nominal. They will be lukewarm. They will not walk through doors of opportunity. And Jesus will say to them, as many as I love, I rebuke, as he does here in this letter. Now, as we go through these truths today, we want to think in terms of our nation, our churches, and ourselves who are a part of those churches in this nation. Harold Bosley said, America is today running on the momentum of a godly ancestry. When the momentum runs down, God help America. We have had a wonderful heritage spiritually. Some people, I think, over-embellish the past, but nonetheless, we've had a great spiritual heritage, a momentum in which the Bible at one time was one of the textbooks in the classroom. But when that momentum stops, God help America, and I can't help but wonder, has that momentum run out as it stopped? And would we say today, God help America? Well, as we look at this study this morning, I'm going to put it in medical terms. In fact, I've given it the title, Taking Your Spiritual Temperature. So with that in mind, we want to look at a description of the physician, how Jesus introduces himself. Secondly, a diagnosis of the patient, the Church of Laodicea in this case. Then finally, a declaration of the prescription, how they can be bettered. Let's first of all look at Jesus himself, the description of the physician. In verse 14, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. These are the titles that he uses as he comes to this church. I am the Amen, I'm the faithful and true witness, I'm the beginning of the creation of God. The word Amen is used about 77 times in your Bible. A few times in the Old Testament, more times in the New Testament. It is a transliteration of a Hebrew word. The original word is amen. Amen. If you were Jewish and somebody said something you'd like, you'd say amen. Or after a prayer, you would say amen. I remember the first time I spoke in a church where many people said amen after almost everything I said. And at first it was a little distracting. I'd say some amen, amen, amen. And then after a while, I sort of liked it because it showed an approval of what you were saying. Amen? I like that. Thank you. Amen? Oh, okay. That's good enough. Thank you. Just wanted to see if we're capable. We are. In the Old Testament, the word amen was given by God's people, interestingly enough, when God would utter a divine curse. That is, he would say, if you do this, great. If you don't, here's the curse. And the people responded by saying, amen. If God would show divine favor toward his people and give a positive statement, the people would also respond by an amen. In the worship setting, when something was said or prayed that had truth to it, it was verified, the people would respond by saying, amen. Now in the New Testament, Jesus uses the term himself as he stands behind his own words. What's interesting is that Jesus never says amen at the end of a statement, always at the beginning of a statement. As if to say, what I am about to say has absolute truth. Some translations will say, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Other translations will have Jesus saying, I tell you the truth. In the original language, it's, amen, amen, I declare unto you. Jesus speaks the truth. In Isaiah 65, God is called the God of the Amen, the God of all truth. Now, what's odd is that we don't think of amen as a proper name. It's used that way here. I am the amen. We think of amen as something you say at the end of a statement. I agree with that. Amen. But Jesus is called the amen. He speaks the truth because he is the truth. And to fortify that statement, he's described as, notice, the faithful and the true witness. Now, I think this is very important because Jesus comes to his patient. His patient is sick. His patient has misdiagnosed himself. His patient thinks he's fine, but he's not. He's very, very sick. And Jesus comes after a thorough workup with the accurate diagnosis And his diagnosis is absolutely reliable. He tells them the truth. It's the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and I'm about to tell you the truth about your condition. You know, one of the marks of a good doctor is he tells the patient the truth. A doctor who's worth his salt won't come in if the patient is about to die and say, listen, we've done tests. You're perfectly fine. Don't worry about a thing. A doctor who's worth his salt or her salt wouldn't say to the patient, well, listen, it doesn't matter which of these pills you take as long as you're sincere. A doctor will say, this is the condition, this is what you need. Otherwise, you're toast. They'll tell the truth. There's a comic strip called Mama by Mel Lazarus, in which Mama, who's sort of the star of this, Mrs. Hobbs, is talking to her perpetual suitor, whose name is Mr. K. Frankly. Now, he's not much of a catch, but he's always persistent, always chasing her. And in the first frame, it shows them sitting on the couch, and Mr. K. Frankly says, Mrs. Hobbs, I'm at a low ebb psychologically. My ego is flattened. Mrs. Hobbs responds in the next frame by saying, oh, Mr. K., let me hasten to state that you're a fine, interesting, and attractive man. The next frame shows Mr. K. perking up, and he says, oh, Mrs. Hobbs, is that the truth? In the final frame of the comic strip, she says, no, there'll be plenty of time for the truth when you're emotionally stronger. Well, Jesus doesn't do that. He knows their condition, and he comes as the faithful and the reliable or true witness. He's going to tell them the truth. Notice also that he is called here the beginning of the creation of God. Now, this has bothered some people. And it has caused confusion in the minds of others, people who would misread it as if to say that Jesus is part of God's creation. And the Jehovah Witnesses will say God created Jesus, and then Jesus created all other things because he's the beginning of the creation of God. But that's not the meaning of the text. The meaning of the text is he is the most important. He is the chief over all of God's creation, or he is the source of God's creation. It's the Greek word arche, like you have archangel, the chief of the angels. He is the ark of creation. He is over all creation. He's the source. Now, what's implied here is this. Not only do I know everything about you, not only is my evaluation about your condition perfectly accurate, but being the source of God's creation, I can do something about it. Now, that's the kind of a doctor you want. You want a doctor who not only knows everything and would make a thorough, comprehensive workup, but would be able to say, I know your condition, I can fix you. How would you like to go into surgery? It's a very delicate operation, brain surgery, and your doctor would come in very meekly, very nicely, and say, you know, I've never done this operation in my whole life, but I'm a nice guy. And I'll try my best. You'd say, no thanks. I would not only like a second opinion, but a second physician. I want somebody who's very capable. Jesus comes as one who is very capable. He says, I know your works. He says that to all of these churches and all of these letters. But Jesus introduces himself as one who is completely knowledgeable of their condition. I know your works. And to show that he is, he uses phrases in this short little letter that reveal his complete and thorough knowledge of their city and their condition. In fact, the entire letter is a play on words of what's going on in Laodicea. Let me describe the city of Laodicea and you'll see what I mean. Laodicea was 40 miles east and inland of the church of Ephesus. It lay in the great Lycus Valley. It was on the main trade route from east to west that brought together the two major empires of the world. So because it was on the main drag, the Route 66 of the ancient world, it was a great commercial city, a great banking city. It had great wealth. It was so wealthy that in 60 AD, when the city was destroyed by an earthquake, The citizens of Laodicea rebuilt the entire city with their own funds. They refused federal subsidy from the Roman government. They built it on their own, and they boasted of their wealth. And so Jesus, notice in verse 17, says, "Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing." There's another play on words when he says, "I counsel you," verse 18, "to buy from me gold refined in the fire." It's a play on words. The city was also famous for two products: black, shiny wool used as garments. And also, there was a school of medicine in that town, a school of ophthalmology. And they boasted in having a cure for eye problems. It was a clay that you would make a salve, and you would rub it in your patient's eyes, and supposedly it had healing properties. And so with that in mind, Jesus in verse 18 says, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." You see what Jesus is doing? He's revealing his total knowledge of them by using these phrases. There was one disadvantage to being a citizen of Laodicea. They had a very poor water supply. Nearby the city were two other cities, and they tried to use their water supply. Colossae was close by. And Colossae was located at the foot of these huge mountains that have a nice runoff of snowmelt. And the water in Colossae is cold and refreshing. Also nearby was a city called Hierapolis. Hierapolis boasted of hot springs. They had their own jacuzzis that came out of the ground. Steaming hot water for baths. Those who lived in Laodicea sought to capitalize on that and build an aqueduct from Colossae and Hierapolis to Laodicea. Well, the water that came from Colossae was ice cold when it left, but by the time it got to Laodicea, what was its temperature? Lukewarm. It was tepid. It wasn't refreshing. It's like, oh, what a drag. We have no ice cubes. It's fresh there, but it's not fresh here. They also tried to bring in the steamy water from Hierapolis, and it was the same problem. By the time it reached Laodicea, it was lukewarm. And so Jesus plays off that image. Just like the water that you expect to be hot or cold, but is lukewarm, you have become spiritually lukewarm. The doctor knows his patient. Now let's look at the diagnosis of this patient and consider what it means to be lukewarm. Verse 15, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot."
As important as it is to get an accurate diagnosis of our physical health, we need to do the same for our spiritual health as well. We'll face many challenges in our life as a Christian, and we need to constantly assess if we're healthy enough and strong enough to face them. And if we aren't, we need to get healthy and get strong. That's all the time we have for today. But before we wrap things up, Skip Heitzig has a book out that can help you determine exactly what your spiritual temperature is and how you can enjoy going beyond A Summer of Love. Here are all the details.
Relationships are unavoidable. They're truly the irreducible minimum of life. From the moment we're born, we're entangled with relationships. However, this web often becomes confusing.
We have a culture that is constantly telling us, do what you feel, man. Go by instinct. Do what's in your heart. Boy, that's the most dangerous philosophy on earth.
This summer, Skip Heitzig is re-releasing his book on relationships with a new title, Beyond the Summer of Love. Discover how the principles God provides us in the Bible for our relationships can help us not only enjoy a summer of love, but a lifetime of love. Order your copy of Beyond the Summer of Love by Skip Heitzig for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Since we can't avoid being entangled in relationships, why not learn how to make them work? Order Beyond the Summer of Love for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or look for it on the Connections website at connectionradio.org.
And when you order that book from Skip, don't forget to pick up a copy of today's message as well. It's available for just $6, including shipping, when you give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. 1888, or when you visit connectionradio.org. Of course, anything you can share above that suggested donation will help us, especially in these challenging economic times, to continue to bring you the encouragement and hope of God's Word through these daily studies here on The Connection. So if you can share any extra with your order, please do so. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find a way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll continue with more tips on how to measure our spiritual temperature next time, so be sure to join us on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.